Today, we shall hear about one of the greatest miracles of deliverance put in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and this broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. I am Pastor Schulze. Last week, I shared with you that Jesus, after a long day of preaching, told his disciples at evening time, "Let us cross over to the other side." And so the disciples went with him. And in the dark of the night, they were on their way to cross the Sea of Galilee. And when they were on the way, they got into a storm, which some consider was a storm of hurricane proportion. So the text tells us that the ship filled with water while the disciples rowed themselves into despair until they could row no more, and Jesus was sleeping in the back of the ship on a pillow. In their desperation, the disciples finally cried out, saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And that, of course, arose Jesus, because Jesus came to rescue the perishing. Remember this, my friend. There are times when it seems like Jesus is asleep and he's not reachable. There are times when it seems like Jesus does not care about the storm you're in, about the troubles you're facing. But you have to keep remembering also that Jesus came to rescue the perishing. And so what you need to do is hold on and cry out loud, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And the Lord will come to your deliverance. So our text says, "And he," that is Jesus, "arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Because the disciples had obeyed Jesus and had in their weariness and in their exhaustion done what he told them to do, to cross the lake, because they obeyed without question, without hesitation, they got to see one of the greatest miracles of all times. Jesus, the Son of God, speaking to the wind, and the wind went to bed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, and Jesus speaking to the sea, and the sea became as calm as glass in just a split second. Oh, they encountered the awesomeness of Almighty God. Because the disciples believed, they encountered the awesome power of Jesus, the creator of the universe, who is not part of nature, but above all of nature, who created nature. Oh, what an experience of faith that was for them. Now then, we come to the other side of the lake, and that's our message for today. And as we come to the other side, traveling with Jesus now, it says, "And when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who was dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." Let's stop here, our reading of the scriptures, and get to the story. The first thing I want to make clear is that Jesus cares for each individual person. We see him on the west side of Galilee, ministering to large multitudes, and then we see him leaving this vast multitude, going into a state of utter exhaustion on his journey through a stormy sea to the land of the Gadarenes, where there was one man, just one man, who was in desperate need. And Jesus went over there to deliver him. Jesus heard his cry in his spirit, and he went over to deliver him, and then he went right back the next day and ministered to the multitudes again. Yes, I want you to know that Jesus cares about you individually. When you come to the throne of God in prayer, he will give you individual attention, as he gave to this demon-possessed man. You are never and number to Jesus. Oh, in our country, when we want to get our taxes done, they want to know our number, our social security number. But my friend, when you come to Jesus, he knows you by name and not by number. Yes, Jesus knows the name of every one of the 6.7 billion people on the earth. The psalmist says that Jesus even knows the name of all the stars and their trillions of them. It says in Psalm 147, verse 4, he telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by their names. The only way you can have control over anybody in a full measure is if you know the name of that somebody or anybody. Oh, Jesus cares for you as an individual. I want you to get this. Some time ago, my wife and I were flying from the southern part of our state to the northern part, and we were vectored by air traffic control to fly over the Indianapolis International Airport. There were a lot of planes being vectored at the time by air traffic control. All of a sudden, the air traffic controller said, "Now I want everybody to be quiet until I'll tell you to talk again." Well, there was an airplane that had trouble, and the controller was trying to get that airplane safely to the ground. So he gave that airplane full attention. And until that airplane was on the ground, we all had to stay our course, no matter which direction it took us. Oh, my friends, Jesus ministered to the multitudes over and over and over again. But when he heard the cry of a desperate soul, he gave his full attention to that soul to deliver it. And this brought him over to the Sea of Galilee, into the land of the Gadarenes. Friend, if you are in desperate need of something, cry unto Jesus, and he will come to your home. Now, it tells us here, as we read on, that this man was not only possessed by one demon, but by many. When Jesus got to confront the man with the demon, he said to this demon, "What is your name?" And the demon answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." In the Roman army, a legion consisted of at least 6,000 soldiers. So what we learn is this man was possessed by thousands of demons. Now, can you imagine that? Thousands of demons in one single human body. What these demons did is they had control of this man who did not want to be controlled by these demons. 6,000 demons were giving him a terrible time. They were causing him to shriek and to cry and to scream and to run naked amongst the tombs and to break his chains over and over again, so that he became a menace to the whole countryside, to the cities, the villages in the area, and nobody there had any good night's sleep. Friend, I want you to know what we have in front of us is probably the greatest miracles of deliverance of any individual in all of the Gospels, if not in all of the Bible, of one man possessed by thousands of devils, creating havoc for the whole neighborhood. Don't you say Jesus does not care? Oh, Jesus cares for you. And so as soon as the demoniac had the slightest sight of Jesus, Jesus probably still wet from having slept in a boat filled with water, probably water still dripping down his hair, his forehead, down his nose and chin. As soon as this man saw Jesus, this man, my friends, started running to him, falling down and worshiping him. Now you say, "Pastor Schulze, how come the demons, this whole congregation of 6,000 devils inside of this man, let this man run towards Jesus while all the devils were afraid of Jesus?" Well, the reason is that when that demoniac saw Jesus, the 6,000 devils also saw Jesus, and they began to tremble, and they began to be immobilized, so they could not hold this man back from coming to Jesus, because they knew Jesus had authority over them. So we learn this, the power of Jesus over demons, already from the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And here it says in verse 27, "And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned amongst themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Aren't you glad that Jesus has absolute authority over any unclean spirit? And if there is someone who has an unclean spirit and you speak in the name of Jesus as the disciples totally surrender to God, that demon, my friend, will obey your voice as you command that demon to leave in the name of Jesus under Christ's anointed power. He will leave that body of yours. It is that simple. Now, if you're not consecrated to the Lord with all your might and say those words, nothing will happen. You have to be in total surrender to the authority of the Lord Jesus. So here he was now at the feet of Jesus, and all the demons inside of him were scared to death. They were now under the spell of Jesus' words, and there was not a thing they could do anymore on their own, but they had to do what Jesus would tell them to do. And so we find out that these demons now were praying, praying to Jesus. They knew although there were 6,000 of them, Jesus was only one person. They knew that Jesus was going to cast them out of the body of this man, and so they made a petition. They asked, they prayed. They wanted to stay in the country, and they petitioned him that if pleased, he would send them into a herd of swine. It says, all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. 6,000 demons petitioning, praying to Jesus to be cast into the swine. Oh, my friend, you see, it says all the devils. Have you ever had an experience where 6,000 devils speak to you, crying for mercy to you at the same time? 6,000 of them? What's the sound of that in the spirit? So this man was in a country of backsliders. That's one reason why the demons wanted to stay there, because these people were doing something that was against the law of Moses. Against one of the laws of Moses, they ate pig's meat. Later on the day of Pentecost, Jesus permitted pig's meat to be eaten, but not because it was any better than it was when God first said, don't eat it. Pigs, my friend, were not converted. No change came to them. I want you to know their flesh is the same as it was in the beginning of time. It's still not good for human consumption, not healthful. But now on the day of Pentecost, we enter the stage of a worldwide missionary movement, and you can't have missionaries go out when they go to pigs country and say, I don't like to eat this and I don't like that, and so forth and so on. You need to eat what's set before you, pray and sanctified, and then get on with the gospel. And when you get back home, it's better for you not to eat that stuff. So anyhow, Jesus allowed the devils to go into the swine, and the swine now being possessed with devils, just like the man before, lost control of themselves. And the demons drove them down the steep bank into the Sea of Galilee, where they drowned. But now, my friend, I'm not done with this story. I'll have to continue on it next week. But know this today. Yes, Jesus came to teach the multitudes. He taught the multitudes the kingdom of God. He went from village to village doing so. Jesus wants the church to preach to the multitudes to finish what he began. But that does not mean Jesus ever loses sight of any one individual who cries out for mercy. When that occurs, the Savior of mankind is right there to deliver and to encourage and to renew. And no matter how big the storm is that's between you and Jesus, he will come through that storm and through the fire and through the flood, whatever, and meet your need. So learn to call upon him and cry out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he will be aroused to rescue you. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time on the same station. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.